Hey, this is Sunny. Once again, if you're hearing this intro, you are listening to the iTunes feed, which means you're listening for free, which means you're listening to old episodes. We have new episodes up at the Patreon. There's an episode about Those Who Wish Me Dead that's live now. And on Friday, we will have another episode coming about The Woman in the Window, Netflix's hits show, movie, whatever, starring Amy Adams and Gary Oldman. It is high camp. I'm sure JVL's going to hate it almost as much as he did not care for The Mitchells versus the Machines. So if you want to get new, more episodes, go sign up at the Patreon. It's as little as $1 a month or as much as $1 million a month. If somebody wants to pay us $1 million a month, we can easily retire from our other jobs and just do this full time. But, you know, Bezos, looking at you. Now you're spending a lot of money on MGM right now, but I think you can fit the Sub-Beacon into the Bezos empire. So go sign up at the Patreon, and we will have new fresh episodes for you. You won't be behind the times as you are here right now. Yeah, see you over there. See you in the comments.
Every family has its challenges.
We haven't had a good family picture in years because you two are always arguing.
For my family, our greatest challenge, probably the robot apocalypse.
Attention all robots. Capture every single person on the planet. Yeah!
Hello, and welcome to another edition of the Sub-Beacon. I'm Victor Mattis, along with Jonathan V. Last and Sunny Bunch. Just a reminder, the Sub-Beacon is now available through Patreon. Go to subbeacon.com, you'll easily find us. Please subscribe, tell your friends, and don't forget about the Sub-Beacon merchandise store at tpublic.com. Gentlemen, how are we? JVL.
Victorino.
What's going on?
I may have acquired another watch.
I didn't know Swatch made more than two.
Well, this, Victorino, I gotta say, everything about this watch I bought because of you.
Oh, you bought a Rolex. Congratulations, the president. The one that Mike Tyson gave to Tawana Brawley with all the little diamond studs around every hour.
Oh, that's uncalled for.
That's a deep pull. It's a deep pull.
It is not Swiss. It's not Japanese.
Oh, okay. It's German.
Germans.
You did not get a Glashütte, did you?
Oh no.
Okay, go ahead. Just tell me. Just tell us.
A Zinn.
Do you
know what the case is made out of?
Steel
from fucking U-boats. That's what it's made out of. The case is made out of the U-boat that sank the Lusitania.
What are you talking about?
This is your watch. This watch is practically a Nazi artifact.
Okay, first of all, you're going back to World War I with the Lusitania. So that was before. That was like Tirpitz's time, okay? secondly, explain.
The case is made out of, as you will see when I have this thing in my hot little hands, at which point we'll do a show and tell. But it says on the back, made of U-boat Stahl.
Well, I mean, it could be from a current, you know, submarine, German NATO submarine level steel. Is that what?
If you would prefer it to be current, whatever gets me in less trouble.
It's like made from the submarine that was captured by Matthew McConaughey. That one?
You know, what is it, Sonny?
U-571.
U-571. I was going to say 235.
Was that John Bon Jovi?
He was also in U-571.
Yes. Yes.
This is different from the Harrison Ford K-19, The Widowmaker.
Where he had affected the Russian accent.
Catherine Bigelow.
I kind of liked U-571. Is that okay?
Yeah, of course. Did you like K-19, The Widowmaker?
Not as much as I thought I would. Oh, I was super excited for that, and it didn't do much for me. No.
Anyway.
The point is,
I never actually saw K-19. I want to.
This Zinn is made out of a fucking U-boat.
Wow.
Wow. There you go.
The case. So yeah, wait, do you have it with you?
Not yet.
Oh.
Not yet. When Sonny says, "What does your watch do? How many rams does it have?" What I will say is, I will say, "Mine sunk 50,000 tons of Allied shipping." That's what my watch does.
How much tonnage? Tonnage.
There you go.
It was hunted. It was hunting the, what is that? Tom Hanks. It was hunting Tom
the
Hanks.
Greyhound. Greyhound. I'm not going to lie. I'm very excited about this.
This is really interesting.
I have stalked this particular watch on and off for several years.
Really?
And a gentleman from Delaware, the first state, was selling it at an unbelievably deep discount. And so I reached out to him on the forums where people like me like to hang out. And snatched it up.
Is it OnlyFans?
8chan.
Snatched it up.
8chan.
Oh, U-Boat Stahl.
Well, that's exciting. Okay, well, you bring it in and we'll take a look at that, and I'll help you with the translation.
I don't understand this watch. Is it made from a specific U-boat, or is it made from
He didn't
just
know.
Like,
he just jumped at it.
A watch manufacturer bought like a bunch of U-boats, melted them all down. My question is, is it a single malt U-boat
or a blend
U-boat, you know? I need to know.
Right. I think it's made from the same kind of steel that would have gone into making a U-boat.
Well, maybe, you know, our friend Herr Dr. Gartsky,
yes,
also has a Zinn. Also, a Zinn that is, I believe, the U-1 or the U-2, which is also made of U-boat Stahl. And so we'll have to ask Herr Dr. Gartsky, because I'm sure he knows more about this than I do. He probably even knows the guys at Zinn.
When he's in town, of course, as you know, he's living on the island of Crete right now.
Yes.
So. Yes. He paratrooped in, as a matter of fact. Oh, sorry. Bad joke. Bad joke for those of you who remember that campaign. Okay.
Sonny, I bet you spent more on your washing machine than I spent on my U-boat watch.
Sonny,
how are you?
Speaking of which.
Having a good week? Everything great?
What's going on?
Have you bought gasoline in hefty bags and then sold it at a high markup?
As I joked on Twitter, I took my bags of gasoline and went to the taco shop and bought a bucket of margaritas, because now we can get margaritas to go. It's totally legal in Texas. The washing machine itself was not the issue.
Mm-hmm.
The washing machine was not the problem.
It's
so
the connecting pipes behind it.
The issue was
the pipes in the wall. That's worse.
That happened to us.
The issue was that the pipes were full of crud, so they had to be flushed out. A lot of flushing and jetting.
Did you use kombucha?
Yes. Yes.
That'll flush.
I just put kombucha in myself, and then I got on the pipe, just shot it all right out.
A conspiracy theory out there among listeners that, you know, we're actually sending secret messages to our poop fetish listeners.
to Flag and Ryan?
Yeah, well, okay.
And
if you want to name them,
them
by name,
that's just
they're into that.
The Subbeacon Extended Universe.
I think Thomas, in his defense, I think his people...
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
His people in the north, not really into the poop stuff.
Interesting, interesting. Okay, sorry.
Yeah, it's those sickos up at SWAT.
Skidmore.
I'm sorry, SWAT. I just committed a microaggression against Flag saying Swarthmore instead of Skidmore.
Wow. Ah! Sorry. Okay.
Skidmore?
Yeah,
get
that's
it?
The other like, school. Oh, oh, and that.
Okay. Great start to the show, guys. This is really wonderful.
Let's do counting.
So like 10 days.
I always
wanted
to go to Beaver College. That's where I wanted to go to Beaver.
Like, oh, boy.
Like 10 days ago,
I
we
think
did a
load. You did.
Beaver College.
Sorry, Sonny. Please.
What happened? What happened to your pipes?
Oh, nothing. Nothing. Oh. It just, the washing machine, the exit pipe overflowed, and we had to have somebody come out and they cleaned it out. That's the end of the story. That's
what
it.
Was
That's
in
the
it?
Story.
With this... Was this
it was just,
your children's
it was
fault?
Just,
were they,
it was, no, it was you, just,
they
just,
put, had mulch in their pockets when you washed their pants and.
Just full of accumulated crap over the last 60 years, I guess. I don't know.
Oh, if the house is that old, yeah, that happened. I mean, we had something similar in our house. I think I probably mentioned this at the time. You know, those pipes date back to 1940. So, you know, when and of course, you know, you started to notice in the basement, like, the dark marks in the ceiling that Kate would continually point out to me, and I pretended not to notice them.
No, I don't know what that is.
Right? I'm in denial. Fine. Like, what? No, what? I don't see it, you know.
Do you guys periodically find interesting things in your washing machine?
No.
Do you don't?
What do you mean?
You don't have your kids?
Oh, you mean like throw something?
Hiding things in their pockets that then get washed and
in the washing. I'm thinking
about
the dishwasher.
Yeah, so I'll find
Sorry.
Like, you know, Lego minifigs or the rubber band bracelets. Do you remember those, Victorino? A lot of rubber band bracelets, chapsticks.
Right, right.
And in fact, mere minutes before I sat down to do this show with you, I was flipping a little wash and I found 3 guitar picks in the bottom of the washing machine. I just thought, okay, sure. What could possibly go wrong?
When I was a kid, when you going to a parochial school, if you will, with the nuns, they monitor the cafeteria. You had to finish what was much like in the army with Dominican nuns. You had to finish what was on your tray. You know, you take what you want, but you got to finish what you eat. You know, and so you finish what you take. So, every now and then, you'd find stuff that you just did not want to eat. You know, and so. What you would do is, you know, you just stick it in your pocket and then say, oh, I'm done. So like peanuts were popular at the time and people take peanuts and they just stick the peanuts, you know, they come in those plastic cups and you just shove it in your blazer pocket and then you walk out and then everybody used them as weapons. It's like shrapnel. Everyone's throwing them at each other, you know, but every now and then you'd have peanuts in the pockets. One time, it was cheeseburger and I love cheeseburger, but I couldn't finish it. So I just put it in my pocket. And when I went home, I just put it in the hamper, and I forgot to tell my mother, and then so they found that in the washer, and then the worst was I thought it was mashed potatoes and it was potato salad and I'd never had it before and it was cold and it freaked me out. I was like, this is disgusting and I am never going to get out of this lunchroom to go recess, you know, with this potato salad. So I just scooped it up and shoved it in my pocket. And then went out and the rest of the day, this is like I was in second grade, and then just forgot about it. And then it was a Friday. So
in your pants pocket?
No, my blazer, please. I'm not an animal, Sonny. And then I went home, and then I just, you know, it's a Friday, so you just throw everything in the hamper. I just threw it there, and I remember the next morning, my mother comes in and is yelling at me. And she's like, what is this? And it was like in the cycle, you know. So
you know. Had the same thing happen to him.
You gotta bleep. Bleep those names. You can't use those.
Can we take a 120-second digression so that you can tell the story?
Are you gonna? You should bleep his name. I don't want to talk about it. If we're gonna bleep. Yeah, you know, this is a human being we're talking about, Jonathan.
Is it?
No. We should move on.
Are you serious? You don't want to tell the story?
No, I mean, we're talking about people here, you know, people, he's alive. He's still around. It's, you know, I'm the one, you know, people start throwing that around.
Yeah, God knows. Okay.
On Twitter. No.
Well, you know what? That'll have to be on the double secret bonus episode.
Yeah, the premium listeners who spend $100 a month, they're the ones who get to hear all the stories. Okay, so here's my thing, which is, you know, first, I should say what I'm doing is a follow-up, like 60 Minutes. You know how they do like a follow-up on a previous story, like a little coda just to ask you, tell you like what happened to these people. Do you remember many episodes ago now, I told you about a classmate of mine who I did not like from my dorm room floor?
Oh, yes.
Yes. And he got in a little bit of trouble with the law. He already making millions.
Allegedly.
Allegedly. And it was not enough, you know, so he tried to make more. It was a bankruptcy situation where he was managing somebody else's, a very large company's bankruptcy. In any event, he crossed the line, broke the law, and I paid special attention to when the sentencing date was, and it was last Friday, and he got 6 months. 6 months
six
in jail.
Months.
But
is
I don't know
country
if that's
club jail.
Well, I'm
or
sure. Yeah, for the you know, no,
jail.
You know, for these people, it's going to be like, you know, country club. So, but I don't know. I imagine Because the worst thing, and I'd like to, if there are reporters out there listening, when you write these stories, please include, was the person then immediately taken away? You know, do they like immediately handcuff you and then remove your belt and shoelaces on the spot?
Sorry,
in the courtroom?
Is he white?
Yes.
Okay, so the answer is no. You know, first he went back to the Cosmo Club, and at the Cosmos Club he had some drinks.
First of all, that's a terrible slander against the Cosmos Club. Which
you know
is
that's
for
not
science
the, that's,
people.
You
Those
know
are
that
science.
That's not the club
right,
he belongs
that's
to.
That's exactly. So, yeah. And then I assume that means that
the Hellfire Club.
Yes, thank you, Sonny. He has to report, right? He has to report too.
Right. You show up when you're ready. You're ready to show. And I hear actually, I remember you sent me the story on this, and it said towards the bottom of the piece, you probably stroked out and didn't make it all the way to the bottom. But the facility he is going to be incarcerated in.
Oh, really? I missed that part.
Recently replaced their clay courts with just normal, hard,
oh,
true.
Oh, how dare they?
So they have really, really knuckled down. It is not at all. Many of the televisions inside the cells are still normal 1080p.
Oh my gosh.
They do not have 4K. Oh. Not all of them.
Well,
and the common areas, of course, they have 4K. Right. But it's going to be very, very stern stuff.
Yeah.
Do you remember when the American Enterprise magazine ran a cover story by an anonymous white collar felon describing Country Club Prison?
Oh no.
Do either of you remember this?
No.
It was the most unself-aware thing ever published ever anywhere in the English language. So some rich white guy gets sent away for 6 months, and he comes out and he writes about what hell it was.
Oh.
And, you know, he's like, I was locked up with people who, you know, people who hadn't even finished high school. There were people who hadn't even finished high school. Many of them were Hispanic. And, you know, like, yes, we lived in dorms. And I had suite mates. And, you know, we were basically allowed to come and go as we please. Fine. But one time, I heard two men making love in the shower. You have no... People make jokes about these white-collar prisons. But I am here to tell you, it is horrifying.
It's going on.
I'm not kidding. Like this, it was the full self. He was writing as if he was describing the Gulag Archipelago.
It was like Oz, yeah.
Except that what he was talking about sounded essentially like a kind of rundown summer camp.
it's like the line in Goodfellas when Henry Hill says, "You know why you know so and so wanted to go to prison to get away from Jeannie, you know, to get away from his wife." But it made me wonder. I said, you know, about. You know, you get the, well, I'm sure you don't, JVL, but, you know, even though I don't ask for it, we get those alumni magazines and tells you, you know, you open up and it's about all your fellow classmates who are saving the world and doing amazing things to save the world. And I wondered, like, how many, like, kids in your classes now, Sonny has a few more years to go till he reaches our age, but how many of them actually end up, like, in jail and stuff like that? You know, that's an interesting, I'm fascinated by that. It's got to be a couple, right? In every class? I know.
I mean, I don't know. There's a kid in my class who went to jail before he graduated because he murdered another kid on campus.
That one. Yeah, the college Republican thingy.
Yeah, but I don't... Is it true? I mean, I'm sure nobody from Mr. Jefferson's university would ever be sent to prison. They have an honor code there.
In 10 more years, maybe. You never know.
They have an honor code. They believe in honor.
It is
Mr.
a public
Jefferson's.
School, though, so you never know.
Is it? Is it really?
For me, there was a guy.
This guy has to be the only one from Georgetown to go to jail.
And no, my roommate from sophomore year did 11 years. True story.
What?
Yeah. I do not want to discuss it on this show, though. Yeah.
Jeez.
And a guy who was older than me.
Did he take the fall for you?
No, unrelated. and a guy who was older than me, I went to jail. He might still be in jail for corruption, city corruption in, I think, the city of Akron or in Ohio for kickbacks, extortion, stuff like that. So anyway, that's what I was wondering.
Boy, it's a good thing I didn't go to Georgetown.
Yeah, you see that? I know. Don't get me started. All right. Anyway, so the story comes out, and I think it's really interesting. I wanted to send the story, but, you know, you can't actually send the story if it's on a phone. I don't know if you know that. So I'm reading the story on the phone, and you can't click on the link, like, you know, with my thumb.
You start yelling, Kate, come here!
You know, there's
here,
a picture. So, like, normally on a computer, right, there's the link above. I'm looking at the link right now to Squadcast, right? You can highlight it, and you send
the URL.
The URL. Yes. Thank you.
Go ahead.
But on the phone, there is no URL. Instead, there's only one thing. It says done. And then there's like a lock on the thing for the home. Why can't I click it on? Please explain this.
What were you reading it on?
On my phone.
His Motorola Razr.
You know how it doesn't show the link?
The StarTech.
It just shows. And then you have to. And the other weird thing is, and you don't even see who the
byline
is.
I was on my computer at victhoughts.tumblr.com.
Thank you. Thank you.
And like, I was trying to figure out how to share the link
so
with people.
You don't know,
and
what I'm talking about.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
I'll show you on my phone one day.
What are you talking about?
Like on the top of the phone, there's like instead of like a link, so I can stick my I could touch it, and then you could like select it and then copy paste. Instead, it just has like whatever wsj.com, and there's a little lock symbol, and I'm like. What's going on there?
Vic uses a jitterbug.
You know what I'm talking about. You know what I'm talking about?
Were you reading it on Safari or were Twitter?
On their website, you know, on my phone. So like it was Bloomberg or Dallas Morning, whatever it is, you know, and it was like, I can't, and they don't let you copy the link.
What are you talking about? That's absolutely not how phones. I don't know what kind of phone you have. What kind of phone do you have?
I have an iPhone SE.
I have a Nokia 9190.
No. It's an iPhone SE, which is for simpler folk.
I was reading it 8 characters in a line. It took me 7 days to read it.
Okay. Speaking of hating technology, this week we're talking about the Mitchells versus the Machines. Sonny. How about a big boy review?
We're not moving on from this until I know that you know how to use your phone.
Right. Okay. So, like I'll click on, oh, this is an interesting story. And it'll be like, let's see here. I can't get to a story right now. But
lady boys in the Philippines have
she-mails. The she-mails.
The Shamali.
Yeah.
Okay, Shamali.
So it'll be like, oh, here's an interesting thing. Okay, now it's taking forever for me to load this. Oh, here. Okay, so take a look. Where's the camera?
I can't see it.
Here it is. On the thing.
Harry,
on the top,
send.
On the top, it, there's just that lock symbol.
Sir, is your computer plugged in?
You just click the bar. Just click like the address bar.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Hold on. Uh-huh. Yeah. Okay, it worked that time. But how about this? Sometimes if you're on an email, let's say it's from I'm going to show you what it is because this is driving me crazy. I'm telling you the truth, man. I'm telling you the truth. I have to go for this morning. Like a morning email. And
if you're looking at an email, it's not a web story. It's an email. You have to forward it to someone.
No. And it takes you to the story. But instead, it has that little lock symbol. And you can't get it from the lock symbol. That's all I'm saying.
Don't click the lock. That's just about the privacy settings on the site.
But there's no other thing for the link. The link is not there.
HTTP secure.
The link is not there. Okay. Big boy review. Sonny, go.
Mitchells versus the Machines is about Vic Mattis trying to figure out how to use his goddamn iPhone.
Really resonated with me.
Mitchells versus the Machines. It's from the writers and producers of Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse. It is about a family, the Mitchells, who the dad is very anti-technology, while the mom and children are all super stuck to their phones all the time. And the girl is going off to USC or some such to study film. She's an animation prodigy. She wants to be in the movie. She's making memes. Folks, she's making memes on the internet. They're on the YouTubes. They're on the TikToks. They're everywhere. The dad feels like he's losing touch with his daughter. You know, he feels like they have grown apart. So he decides to drive her and the rest of the family across the country to drop her off on the first day of school. In the midst of this road trip, Apple destroys the world. Basically, is what happens. A smartphone company releases a new Android that is also a phone
And the robots take over. And obviously this family that has both the skills with technology and the technology fearful father are perfectly situated to save everybody. I really like this movie. I'm not going to lie. I really liked Mitchells versus the Machines. It is sweet and adorable. It is all. I can't wait to see what JVL has to say about the families in this movie, because I imagine that he is going to tear it to shreds. But it is a heartwarming tale of a family coming together, and it's also it is also pretty funny. I mean, so the movie really gets going maybe 25 minutes or so into it when the actual robot apocalypse starts, and at a point in there they team up with these two android robots, whatever they are. And they're voiced by Fred Armisen and Beck Bennett, who are two of the only funny people on SNL in the last 15 years, which brings a real levity to the proceedings. The animation style could be described as something like hyper modern CG renderings. It's computer generated, but it's not like Shrek or Pixar. It's like they're I don't know. It's Rugrats. Hard to describe.
Picture kind Rugrats of, if the Rugrats animation style was rendered.
Yeah, that's
in beautiful.
Yes.
But also, I would say so. It's that sort of stylization.
Yes.
But yeah, that but done beautifully.
Yes, that's about right. But there's also an overlay of like kind of. I will charitably describe it as janky. It is intentionally kind of lo-fi, low-res, again, very meme-oriented art that is, you know, done by the daughter, giving us kind of a glimpse into how she sees the world, et cetera, et cetera. Here's what I like about the movie, and here's what I find kind of interesting and baffling about the movie, is that it is a movie that is being released by a tech company that is nominally about the evils of being dominated by your technology. And I say only nominally because what it's actually about is the way technology can connect people across not only distances, but time. There's a great scene in the film where the father is looking at old, you know, VHS home videos, trying to remember, you know, what the family meant to each other, what the family meant to him, and how things went so wrong. And then the daughter watches that same video later, and you can see these two people who have grown apart a little bit, who come from different generations, connecting with each other via this essentially message from the past. It is a way to use a screen to look into the past, to understand your present better. And I find this all like weirdly deeply touching. I mean, it is a movie that is skeptical of technology, but not really. It's a movie that is more skeptical about how we use technology and how we can use it to wall other people off from us, or to kind of, you know, lose track of what is happening in the world. I quite enjoyed all of the voice work in this. Danny McBride plays the father. Maya Rudolph plays the mother, and they are both delightful. As I mentioned, Fred Armisen and Beck Bennett are in this, and there's a wonderful sequence with thousands of Furbies, which was just pure nightmare fuel. If you remember Furbies growing
up, and don't forget Olivia Colman.
And Olivia Colman plays the big bad in this. So I don't know. I liked it. I enjoyed it. I thought it was cute and sweet.
JVL, what did you think?
I hated it.
Oh, yeah. Did you really? I was curious because you were reserved. I'm trying to read your face during the review, and then you talked about the animation, how it's beautifully rendered. So I said, "Huh, maybe."
This is a movie about a broken family that comes together in the end, and that is wow. Schmaltz that JVL will not stand for.
Okay, well, go for it. Or do you want me to go first, and then you go into it? Or you go first,
Victor? No, I'm curious as to what you.
All right.
I mean, first of all, it's always good to hear what the children of intact families think of these things. But also, Victorino, I would have thought that you would instantly go to, boy, is this thing too long?
You know, it's funny you should say that because it was under 2 hours, but it
not much,
but not by much, but not
nope.
that much. Yeah.
But it's without credits, it's like an hour 45.
Still 20 minutes.
I could have shaved maybe 15 off.
I will say that at about minute 80, I was like, how is there still 40 fucking minutes left in this movie? Yeah. I literally was like, what is going on?
Once they enter that virtual world, and it's like, what am I seeing? Okay. Now, the quadrant score is an A, technically, because, you know, first of all, the plot is an A+. That was easy to understand, okay? Duration was an A-, I gave it. Violence action is an A. There was fighting. And I did not give it, it gets the N-A for sex nudity because it's not, again, it's the potential for, as we were talking in the last episode, the potential
for. You keep going back and forth on this.
I am, but I'm sticking,
come up with
I'm holding firm on the N-A now.
Sorry.
Because
so,
it doesn't
so
apply.
So Mortal
it does,
Kombat
it does,
gets a B- minus from you.
Well, I've changed the rating system. The rating system has changed. It gets the N-A for this because it's not like, for example, we were talking about WeWork, right? And I gave that an F for sex nudity because there could have been some good stuff in there, and there wasn't, okay? And other people are telling me about work showers at WeWork. Yes, a friend of ours was telling me about this. But this is...
Who was telling you about that?
Robert Little was saying that there were, really? Like, the showers. That WeWork has the showers. Okay, but this one...
Do they have middle school 1960s-style group showers?
No.
Is that what goes on at WeWork?
I have no idea, but but sex nudity here, I was going to say, it's animated, but it's not anime, right?
Could have gotten some manga.
If it was Ghost in the Shell. All right, yes. If it was Japanese, I would have given it an F because you expect it, and it's not there. That would have been a very big disappointment. What did I actually think of the movie?
It's all about expectations. Yes. It's all about expectations. Yes.
What did I think about the movie? I thought it was okay. I liked it. There was a lot of it I liked. Kate and I very much related to Danny McBride. Because we are not technology savvy. Shocking.
No. No.
You know, and we laughed.
Really?
We thought it was really funny. And the kids thought it was funny, too, because of the way it portrayed that, including, like, you know, if my daughter says, oh, I made this thing, this video, you're going to look at it. I don't know what I'm, what am I looking at, you know? But the other thing is this, though.
What am I looking at?
These kind of movies.
You are, like the father, a big outdoorsman who loves having screwdrivers and making things.
With the exception, I'm cooking. But the other thing is... what I didn't like is these kind of movies, just my eyes glaze over because of all the colors and the flashes and different things are going on. And it's just like, it's like a cartoon. How long can I watch a cartoon for? What is this? Hour 45 for a cartoon? It's just like, this is going on.
Did you watch Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse?
I did.
Because that again, is another, that's another movie with like a very specific visual aesthetic.
Yes.
The kind of flat, almost like paper
Mario
style.
No, and I appreciate the artistic element here, but for me personally, there's only so much of this I can watch as a cartoon, and that's what I have. But other than that, I thought it was, there are very funny moments in this, you know, when she decides to shut off the Wi-Fi and everybody's freaking out, and there is a woman or a man, I can't remember who it was, with saying, will somebody please take a picture of my food. It is just perfect because it's like, if you didn't document it, it didn't happen. Okay. So that's what I thought. Also, this question to Sonny or to JVL, and then from there, I'm just going to leave it to JVL to take it from here. Was this movie intended to be an homage to The Incredibles, a spoof of The Incredibles, or a poor man's The Incredibles?
Well, I don't think it is intended to be anything.
No.
There's a specific nod to The Incredibles at one point. I forget.
Yes.
There's a
yes.
line in it about, you know, we don't have to be incredible or something like that.
Well, and there's also funny lines like, not incredible related, but when they say, geez, you know, who would have thought like a large tech company wouldn't have our best interest in mind and stuff like that. Very funny. But again, that's how I felt about it. JVL, what did you not like about this movie?
So, I mean, I should start by saying that this says way more about me than it does about the film. Entirely possible that this is a wonderful movie and that it will please many people. There is something grotesque about playing dysfunctional families for laughs and then having bad parents and kind of bad kids. I mean, Katie's a bad kid. Now, maybe you could say, well, she's, you know, 18 years old. Of course, she's self-involved and stupid. But she is, you know, incredibly self-involved and stupid and unpleasant and a bad child.
In the sense that because she just likes making her videos?
And she's like, you know, my parents don't understand me. Like, I don't know, understand your fucking parents. You know, like, it's a two-way street, sweetheart. And, but, you know, but everything works out fine. You know, like, ah, they're a bunch of meatheads, but they really love each other. And this just, look how funny this dysfunction is. And, you know, a lot of times, actually, it's not funny. And it doesn't work out. And people who are bad parents, like, fuck up their kids. And unpleasant kids are bad. I just, the whole thing for me was like nails on a chalkboard. And there's an aspect to it that is like watching a dark comedy about the Rwandan genocide, which is like super funny unless you grew up in Rwanda. You know, like I just, yeah. And I have never liked any sort of white collar, blue collar, meathead dysfunctional family comedies. You know, the Roseannes of the world, those types of, never, they always made my skin crawl. And that's what this did. It literally, first of all, I would say, just to be very arch, I watched it on my phone.
You were thinking about watching it with the family, so you did not watch it with the family.
Nobody in the family was interested, except for G-Money. G-Money watched like 35 minutes of it with me. I was like, yeah, can we go do something else? Didn't. We watched Batman and Robin on Saturday night with the family. And G-Money believed that this was Citizen Kane. We have had Batman and Robin on a loop in our house since then. This is, wow, does he love Batman and Robin?
Batman and Robin, the one with Arnold Schwarzenegger and Uma Thurman.
Oh, yeah. And Alicia Silverstone and Chris O'Donnell. Yeah. And yeah. We'll talk more about that maybe in the outtakes. But I hated everything about this movie. Every fucking thing about it. There were, you know, a couple moments that were clever and funny. But, and again, this, I'm sure, says more about me than it does about the movie. But I couldn't wait for it to be over. And I was not even really rooting for any of the characters. None of the hugging and learning stuff made my skin crawl.
I was going to say, the message of the movie at the end is, hey, we're not perfect. We're not the perfect family like their neighbors, John Legend.
And Chrissy Teigen.
And Chrissy Teigen, right, and their kid. But we make it work, right? I mean, isn't that what's going on here, Sonny?
Yeah, I mean, It is a movie that once I was done watching it, I was like, oh, I feel kind of bad recommending this for the show because I know JVL is going to hate it because I know that he hates this sort of thing. So I apologize.
No, it's not.
Jonathan Last.
No, you know what's funny?
I
was thinking about other. I mean, first of all, I think I've watched Into the Spider-Verse a lot of times because G-Money really likes that too. It might be my top three superhero movies all time. I love it so much more than I did upon first watching it. And I liked it a lot when we first watched it. I really love the crap out of it. You know, so that the Lego Ninjago, whatever movie.
Ninjago.
Right, Ninjago. Ninjago. I think I talked to you guys about this a couple months ago.
Yeah.
You know, I watched it not because I wanted to, but purely because G-Money likes building Ninjago sets and was like, whoa, let's do this. It's great. And it's really funny. And it is about, it's about divorce. And it's about like this horrible absentee father. And there's not much hugging and learning. And to the extent that there is any, like, it's all just like the dad is a bad dad and he's literally the bad guy. He is the super villain of the, and he's also the divorced dad and his son is one of the ninjas. And it's hysterical, but there's nothing saccharine about it. It's actually pretty.
In comparison with the ending was too saccharine for you of.
The whole thing was too saccharine. Like, you know, oh, look, he doesn't know. The dad doesn't know what to say. He has to read off the cue cards. Bumbling dads. Dads are so stupid. Dads are stupid. They don't know feelings.
Just like, accurate, though. I mean, you say this like it's not the real world that we live in.
I think it's not the real world that we live in. I think it's very much not the real world that we live in, and I hate it. I hate being talked down to as a parent like that in the same way that I hated being talked down to as a kid watching stupid... I'm sure I've gone into my rant on this before, but I used to get viscerally angry on Sesame Street when Mr. Snuffleupagus, I guess, would disappear whenever
and
Big
nobody
Bird tried to show.
Nobody believed him.
Nobody, and I believe they've changed that. I believe that Mr. Snuffleupagus is now just another character that everybody recognizes. And people would patronize Big Bird. Like, the adults would be like, sure, Big Bird, your friend, wink, wink, was here. And I would just be like, what are these stupid fucking grown-ups? How dare they, you know, try to pat this child on the head and think that he's just pretending and make-believe because, you know, you can't trust somebody to be serious just because they're 4 years old. And I used to get, like, really, really angry about it.
I don't even remember that being a thing.
I do, but when I saw it, it's sort of like... I understood, like, the gag is the, no, he's really there, and how come, but you know what I mean? It's like this thing.
Oh, it made me angry. But this fed into my whole, I mean, as a kid, it always made me very angry for adults not to understand that I was smarter than they were. So, yeah.
Thank you.
A trait that has continued through the years.
Through the years.
You know, I mean, most people tend to recognize it now. But, yeah, no, it made me angry, and I don't like being talked down to. And I feel like stupid fathers is a trope which I find insulting, and I don't like it.
How do you feel about The Simpsons?
You know, Homer was always the family dynamic stuff was always the least interesting part of The Simpsons to me. The most interesting part of The Simpsons is always the town.
Sure.
Right. I want to spend time with Sideshow Bob and Mayor Quimby and Mo
and Apu.
The comic book
and
guy.
And Apu, the comic book guy, right? All that stuff. Duff Man. Right. Whenever they like really leaned into that, although to be honest, in The Simpsons, the saccharine stuff was really not there. It was not like, you know, hey, we're all great. It was, boys is a fucked up family, and Lisa can't wait to get out and go to college, you know?
Yeah, but some of the saccharine episodes are some of the best, like the Do It For Her.
I don't remember that one.
That's the one where Homer quits at the nuclear plant, and then they get have the third child, they have Maggie, and when they come back, Mr. Burns, who Homer had played Mr. Burns' head as a bongo while leaving the nuclear power plant, he makes him put up a sign that says, don't forget, you're here forever. And then at the end of the episode, Homer has put pictures of Maggie up all over, and it spells, do it for her.
That's right.
So I don't remember that, but I can tell you I would have hated it.
That is an anti...
I was going to say, Lisa Becomes a Vegetarian is a great episode, because they obviously, you know, he's this, you know, unapologetic carnivore. And then,
but the funniest part of that is when she comes home from hanging out on the roof of Apu's garden, where she meets, is it
Paul McCartney? Paul McCartney.
And isn't that the one where Homer's hosting the giant cookout? And the doctor's like, how about a hot beef injection?
That's right. That's a diagnosis. Delicious.
Right. Again, that stuff is always the funniest stuff, right? Barney and Mo. Right.
Yeah. But I mean, it's a sweet ending. But it's a sweet ending, though. I mean,
I guess early Simpsons that focuses on what a rascal Bart is.
It's funny.
And then the family stuff. No, that's I don't like that stuff.
No, I mean, it's funny that they did that. But also the animation was so very much different that first season than it is.
Yeah, that first season looks like a wholly different show.
Yeah, I mean, it was just a little extra throwaway on the Tracy Ullman show, right? I mean,
what about Family Guy?
Never watched it.
Yeah,
I've never even seen 5 seconds.
You know what? I pretend to.
I'm just trying to think of shows with bad. What about like a Home Improvement with Tim Allen?
I'll tell you this. I hated The Cosby Show.
Yeah, that's right. You said
hated
that.
The Cosby Show.
But they're not dysfunctional. They're not dysfunctional.
Cosby's not a boorish bad dad.
He's got other things going on.
He's
absolutely a boorish bad dad. His answer to every conflict with his children was, I have a job and I have all the money, so you have to do what I say.
Once again, that's just true. That's just the way the world works.
What about family ties?
I mean, I was like 8 when I was watching Family Ties. I imagine I would not like it now. Yeah. But I don't know. Like, he was like a sensitive guy, right? He was a hippie.
He was a hippie,
He was not clueless. He was, I don't think Cliff Huxtable
was clueless, right?
No, my ideal family is the Bluths. The Bluths from Arrested Development. That is what, if you want
definitely
comedy
not saccharine.
From families,
definitely
if
not
you want comedy from
trying
families,
to get together.
It ought to be dark. You might as well just own the dark place and go there.
Okay.
Well, what about Adam's family?
Which one? The movie with Christina Ricci?
That's right.
What about the Flintstones, the cartoon?
Here we go. Flintstones or Jetsons?
Jetsons, I think.
They're both
really
before my time.
Victor, yeah.
Yeah, you know, it was kind of boring. The Flintstones were kind of boring.
Yeah, I didn't like either of them.
Yeah.
But I only
both
saw them
great
on rerun. Those were primetime shows. Victor.
Yeah, that's crazy. That's crazy. Is that right?
They were primetime shows.
Were they on
you
rival
watching
networks?
Them as after school? No, I believe they were a package.
Hanna-Barbera, right?
Again, John is probably yelling at his television right now, but I believe
idiots.
Both of them were on one of the big three networks.
Yeah, one of the big three.
There were only
the time,
three networks.
Like in the 60s or whatever.
And they were a primetime thing, and then I think it failed, and they got shunted to UHF after school reruns.
Yeah, and then we liked it. Exactly.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't. The answer is I don't like any of those things. Mm-hmm. I don't like any of the family sitcoms. I want, give me Friends, great. Give me Seinfeld, great. If you want to go, you want to do family stuff, then I want Arrested Development.
Sonny, make sure you mark it down. Never again. Do not ever recommend a movie like this, which ends the show at 45 minutes.
No. I mean, it is. So this is, again, this is like a very real thing. And when I was watching the show, I was like, or when I was watching the movie, I was like, oh, man, I like this a lot. It's very sweet. And it's very, everybody comes together at the end. And they're all quirky. And their quirks. They come together and they make a whole that's bigger than the sum of its parts.
Nobody's perfect, so they come
together. Nobody's nerfect, if you will. So when I was watching it, I was like, I like this a lot, but God, JBL is going to hate this movie.
It didn't occur to me that
first thing I thought. Really? First thing because I was like, oh, we've been through a couple of these before. I know JBL's not gonna like this one. So I felt bad.
It's okay. You know
as
what?
We were
I've
watching
liked,
it.
I was thinking about this actually when I was sitting there hating this movie. I was thinking, it's been so long since I didn't like something we've watched.
Oh.
I have been in the Vic chair. I don't know if you remember, we went through like a year and a half where Vic liked every single thing we saw.
Yes.
And he has now become the East German judge. But have gone, I don't know, it's been like 12 weeks since we saw something that I wasn't like, it's great.
Right.
What was the last thing you didn't like?
I don't even remember. I think it might have been the Greyhound.
Really?
I think that's how far back we probably have.
The Tom Hanks movie?
Yeah, I didn't love it. It was fine.
I don't even remember talking about that. I know there are folks who listen to like every episode that we do a couple times and can like recall instantly like exactly what episode we said what in. But I am at the point where I literally cannot remember what we talked about like 3 weeks ago.
I was thinking about this. This is actually for the Sub Beacon under the name Sub Beacon, not Substandard, but Sub Beacon. This was the episode 103. I don't know if you knew that. So we passed it a couple.
2 years
three
now.
Three episodes there. Yes. But in our time, I'm trying to think. I was trying to think what is the worst movie I'd seen for the show. And I joke around about.
Widows.
Widows, right? Okay. Which I just was not in a good mood to watch that movie for whatever reason. But I have to think. I don't know. I think really up there was probably The Beach Bum, even though it did well on some of the quadrants. But I just thought there was absolutely nothing redeeming about The Beach Bum with Matthew McConaughey. How about you guys? Worst movie
that we've watched for the show?
Was terrible.
Again,
it was terrible.
Oh, Sentinel is the last movie we saw that I didn't like.
That's mid-March. The one with what's her name? The
mid-March.
Olga Kurylenko.
Olga Kurylenko.
Oh, right.
Yeah. Okay. But I liked her. I like Greenland, for God's sakes. I care a lot.
Yeah.
I guess I didn't love.
Sonny, you like most movies.
Barb and Star.
Barb and Star was terrible. Oh,
Barb and Star was good. Oh. That's going to be a cult classic. People are going to look back on this episode of the Subbeacon about Barb and Star, and they're going to be like, what are these people? This is how wrong opinions are formed.
Jamie Dornan, the singing thing. You know, it was just awful.
Can we just say one more thing about Mitchell's versus the Machines, please, before we wind up? You guys both mentioned the length, and I remember looking at it, I was like, God, 2 hours when I like looked at how long it was going to be to start. And like I said, I got to the 80-minute mark, and I was like, how is there still 40 minutes of this movie left? It's like we're in like the end of Act 3. What is happening in this thing? And there was still a little bit extra there at the end. It definitely had the feel of a Netflix thing that is probably 20% too long, at the very least 10% too long. There's 15 minutes of this movie, or I don't know, maybe 10 minutes of this movie that could have very easily been cut out, you know, especially at the beginning. It really takes forever to get to the robot apocalypse. We want to get to the versus the machine.
I actually looked at the clock for saying, okay, when is it starting? And
this whole, I get wanting to be with the family and learn who they are, but it just goes on and on. It's not until, I mean, again, it takes about a half an hour to get to the actual robot apocalypse, which feels like a pacing mistake.
It's, yeah. Yeah, yes.
Okay. If that's all we have, we'll move right along. By the way, are you a Danny McBride fan?
I love Danny McBride.
Yeah, I do too, JVL.
I don't know enough. I mean, I've seen him in, what was the ads? He did a series of commercials based on his Eastbound and Down.
Oh, really? He did?
It was like for sneakers, right?
Oh, really?
It was a character he did for a sneaker, Adidas, maybe?
Really? I don't know.
Mike Warren will remember this.
I did like Eastbound. I did like Eastbound and Down.
He's great.
Eastbound
and Down is
raunchy.
Great. He's funny in Tropic Thunder. Yeah. I mean, he's basically doing the same thing every time.
I would say.
Largely.
And because of that, because he basically plays the same role every time, the best of that, in my opinion, is that movie with Seth Rogen, The End.
Yes, this is the end.
The stuff that he talks about is fantastic in there. Stuff I can't... talking,
that might be my favorite of all those movies.
Yeah,
that whole,
talking about...
the weed pack
Emma Watson and wanting to, you know, that whole thing where they're outside her door. And he says, I can't wait to talk to her about Harry Potter. I love that magic shit. Anyway. Okay.
No, he's good. Yeah, Jimmy, I think you would actually really enjoy The Righteous Gemstones, which is a HBO series that is essentially making fun of a evangelical dynasty type of... John Goodman plays the patriarch.
Televangelist?
Televangelist, yeah.
I'll watch anything John Goodman's in. That guy's great.
I think
except
he would
for
like
Roseanne.
That's right, he was in Roseanne. Okay. Spirit of the week. Do you have something?
I'm just drinking a diet Dr. Pepper. Texas, the official drink of Texas.
I got a great one today. It actually arrived a few days ago. And it is Citadel. Look at this beautiful bottle.
Ooh.
Citadel.
Is this another
French
gin?
Yes, French gin. People must know that I'm in a gin kick. Jardin d'Ette. It is 22 different botanicals, including lemon, melon, yuzu. So a special, it is quite delicious. The fruitier your botanicals, I really recommend, as you know, and Slay would probably agree, a twist for your martini, not olives. It would clash. And I mean, if it's strictly talking about junipers and stuff like that, like a Plymouth, a London Dry, I love olives. I love olives in my gin because that kind of acts as the appetizer anyway. It's like a meal and a drink in one. Especially if they give you three olives,
right.
You know.
Especially if they're full of blue cheese.
Oh, you got that's a
you
meal.
Get the blue cheese
that's
olive.
A
I mean,
full.
That's like,
that's it.
That's at least you know the martini itself is basically you know absorbing itself with the
it is
the,
no. It's like it just goes it,
the
it,
olives
itself
and the blue
yeah,
cheese.
Yeah, you can. That's why you can have like three,
ten.
Four, or a pitcher. a picture, as you know. So thank you. Shout out to Ashley Ott for sending that over. That is delicious. And corrections, shout outs. I do want to give a shout out to the Georgetown lacrosse team for defeating Denver to win their third straight Big East championship. I know what everyone's wondering. Why is Denver in East?
Denver? Denver? Is Denver a school?
Yeah, Denver. Denver is in the University of Denver. I guess it's in the Big East. That would be east of the Sierra Madre. And that is a shout out to listener Eritrean Barrister who pointed that out to me. So thank you for that. That is all the time we're giving to this episode. Questions, comments, compliments, tweet us at Sunny Bunch at Victorina Mattis. Again, be sure to subscribe to us on Patreon. Just go to subbeacon.com. We're there. Tell your friends. Until next time. Sunny.
Yeah, so I actually had a very good sock experience this week. I want to relay a sock experience to everyone. So I
darn tough, smart world.
Darn tough came through from. So I two or three years ago, I got a pair of boots, and I was like, oh crap, I need boot socks to wear with these boots because the ankle socks are like dress socks.
Hold on, yes, no, good no, no, question, no, 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 JBL. Like, because I'm thinking now that you're in Texas, you got to have a pair.
No. Well, I haven't been in Texas for two or three years now, have I? No, it was a pair of Allen Edmonds Normandy boots. I got them for like 80% off or something. It was amazing. It was the best deal ever. Anyway, first time I put them on, I was like, these are horribly uncomfortable because I'm wearing ankle socks. Gonna have to, you know, figure out how to take care of that. And my wife, my lovely wife, was like, I know this great American manufacturer of socks, Darn Tough. They're in Vermont. Everything's made in America. And they have this, you know, wonderful warranty program where if the socks ever wear out, you send them back and they replace them. And I was like, okay, yeah, all right, sure. But these are exceptionally expensive socks. They're like $25 a pair. So when the pair that she bought me 3 years ago, I put it through the wash, I pull it out, and it has a little hole in it, a little hole in the bottom. And I was like, let's try this warranty out. Sure enough, I put it in a envelope. I printed out a warranty label. I sent it in. And they sent me, they actually sent a gift certificate, like a gift card for like $25 at the Darn Tough website. But it was like all it cost me was shipping the thing there, shipping the, so it cost like $3 to ship my socks back, and they sent me $25 pair of socks. So Darn Tough, believe in the warranty, folks.
How does that work? Because they assume not everybody takes advantage of the warranty and never buys another pair of socks.
Well, I mean, look, I would assume that a lot of folks just don't bother with it, or forget or whatever, or you know, they give them as a gift to somebody they don't know.
Well, that's a great deal.
I am the sort of person who, like, generally speaking, will just be like, I'm just gonna buy a new one. Just gonna buy a new one. I wanted to test it out on principle, and I gotta say, great service from the folks at Darn Tough. So if you're looking for good, thick, cushy socks that if they get a hole in them, they'll replace. Really, no questions asked. They didn't even ask. They weren't even like. So have you been using these as slippers? Because you should. You know, this. You're not supposed to be using them as slippers.
Right. People who walk around in socks. Yeah, of course.
If they had really dug into this, who knows what they could have uncovered. But they were just like, all right, here's get some new socks.
That's great.
I got some new socks.
That's great. You should make sure you tweet them out. You should get some swag.
We're not
JVL.
I don't need swag. I got new socks.
The socks JVL. Are the swag. So I haven't seen Batman and Robin, I don't think, since you and I were in the theaters, Victorino. Yeah. And two things.
The Ice Age. Go ahead.
The Iceman cometh. Do you know what killed the dinosaurs? Right.
The Ice Age.
So two things really jumped out at me. And the first is the reason it's such a terrible movie. And it is because, so the movie is clearly camp.
Oh, it's like intentionally, you're saying.
Except that only two of the people involved with the picture are doing it as camp.
Okay. Are we supposed to
and
guess?
Those are Uma Thurman, who is full camp throughout, and the director, Joel Schumacher.
Oh.
Everybody else is acting as if they are in a tentpole superhero movie. And, you know, Chris O'Donnell is, like, acting really hard. And
Jim Carrey is not in this one, or is he in
this one? Batman Forever. Yeah, which comes before this. Alicia Silverstone looks like she thinks she's being given, like, her shot at the real big time and is, like, really trying to effort it. But the thing which really, really jumped out at me is George Clooney. Because in every single frame, he looks like a man who knows that he's watching his career being buried alive. And funny. He does not do the camp thing at all. I mean, he is, you could
he's
see
trying
him
to act
trying
it
to
as.
Because
claw
he,
his way to,
because
like,
he has,
don't put
he,
me in movie jail for this. Don't put me in movie jail for this.
He has a mode where he can do camp. He does it with the Coen brothers from
yes,
time to time.
Burn
I mean,
after.
When you, and it's a reason, there's reason, the reason I don't
Dapper
like
Dan.
Oh, right. Brother, Where Art Thou? Is because I think that, like, Clooney is just ham, and that he's just a total ham in it. I can't stand him.
Versus
in that
like
mode.
Hail Caesar,
right? Well, Hail Caesar, he's a ham, but it makes sense for the character because
yeah,
the character is an idiot actor,
right?
So like he's great. Playing an idiot actor, and I was like, okay, yeah, I believe George Clooney as an idiot actor with ideas of socialism and whatnot.
He is playing this as if he is trying to maintain the same kind of intensity that was in The Peacemaker.
Ah.
If you remember The Peacemaker,
yeah,
which
the
was
question,
his first.
Where is this in his career in terms of movies?
It's very early. It's very early.
Peacemaker.
So Peacemaker
it's
is his
before
big,
The Perfect Storm?
Yes. So I believe his first movie is From Dusk Till Dawn.
Yes.
And but then his first movie as a star, which is meaning post-ER, comes and is the Peacemaker, which was supposed to be a huge. It was him and Nicole Kidman. And I want to say Wolfgang Peterson maybe is the director. I'd have to go back and look.
Maybe, and it involves the Balkans. It's
and it's
it, right?
It's not very it's, good. It's one of these, you know, it looked really kind of cool.
New York,
cool.
UN, but also Balkans, and yes.
Yeah.
That's right.
And then Warhead. This thing, and he managed to stay out of movie jail. But that's why you have this tension between all these people trying to hump this thing into respectability,
right.
Except that the guy behind the camera is trying to make Rocky Horror Picture Show.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sure it's fine.